As a believer, God wants your life to count for eternity. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to make a difference with our lives for the cause of Christ.
The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians. One day our lives will be evaluated and the books will be open and we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wise Christian who is thinking biblically thinks eternally and is living not just for this day, but for that day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
How can we translate our concern for our country and the world into meaningful action? The answer is found in our series, Making a Difference. Through today's study, we will learn how to influence those around us and how to live a life that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The most effective way to make an impact on the world is to make an impact on individual people. If you want to learn how to share your faith with others and how to make a difference for eternity, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Making a Difference with Our Attitude.
I remember as a young man living in South Korea, and they were still really rebuilding after the Korean War. And it seemed like you could rent a large auditorium, have a singing group, have a good preacher or two, and people would come by the thousands. It seemed like during that time when they did not have much in the way of prosperity, there was a hungering to know about God. But then now that they have come to the place where there is much prosperity in South Korea, it is more difficult to speak to people about Jesus Christ because with the abundance of things, it seems the spiritual interest is limited. Around the world today, where there is a lack of prosperity, there is a spiritual hungering. Watch out that in your own life, that as God prospers you, you still maintain that spiritual hunger. You still maintain that desire and that heart for God. That's what Moses was speaking about in Deuteronomy 6:12. Look at that in your notes. It says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." God says, I want to warn you, when you get into the promised land and I start blessing you and giving you all these things, God says, hey, don't forget me then. I've seen it over the years. Folks who come into church and they'll get their marriage back together and they're struggling finances. They get the Lord in the right perspective. They begin to give. Things go well. They're honoring the Lord. And God blesses them. He blesses their career. And things are going well. And all of the sudden in the ability or in the desire they have to take care of those things, they begin to set the Lord aside. And they think, you know, I've got these different investments I've got to check on, and now I've got this high-stress job, and I'm sort of stressed out, and I need some time away. And all of a sudden, one thing leads to another, and the desire, the unfulfilling desire for these possessions and prosperity takes them away from their walk with the Lord. You know, 12 times in this parable, you'll find a personal pronoun. You'll find that this man had the disease of me, and he was totally wrapped up in himself and not in the will of God. Henry Fielding once said, make money your God and it will plague you like the devil. I think he had a lot of wisdom when he said that. Well, we see this man seeking after three things. Number one, possessions. Number two, prosperity. Number three, he had pleasure in mind. He was living for pleasure. Notice verse 19. It says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, that really applies to our hedonistic society today. It seems like folks are thinking about how they can have pleasure. It seems like the world lifts that up. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's a good thing to take a day off. You may have a hobby that you enjoy, and all of those things in moderation are good. And in fact, they are gifts from the Lord. God has given us a beautiful planet. He wants us to enjoy these things. He has given us all these things to enjoy. But once again, when we are thinking of those things and of pleasure more than of God, all of a sudden it's a form of idolatry. And this man is literally thinking to himself. He's saying to himself, the Bible says, soul, thou hast many things. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I can see him driving down the Antelope Valley Freeway thinking, you know, I work hard. I deserve this and I deserve that. And all of a sudden hedonism settles in. And if we're not careful, we're thinking about pleasure more than God. You know, the Bible even says that in 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 3:14, this know that in the last days men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, how many of you, if you're honest, you say, you know, Pastor, sometimes when I do daydream, I think about being on a river or being out somewhere doing this or doing that. It's kind of a natural way. I don't always just think about the Lord. Sometimes I more naturally think about pleasure than of God. And I have to fight that battle of my flesh to keep my focus on the Lord. How many of you understand what the Bible's talking about? And that's the day in which we live, thinking of pleasures. Reminds me of a young man that was on college spring break. This young man had the opportunity to go visit his girlfriend and meet her family, and he was excited about it. And so he traveled to her town, and on the way into town, he pulled into the drugstore, and he went in there. He was going to get a little something for his girlfriend, and the pharmacist came to help him. He said to the pharmacist, he said, "Sir, I'd like to buy some chocolate. You have any chocolate in here?" And the pharmacist said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "I need 3 boxes of chocolate." And the fellow said, 3 boxes of chocolate? He said, "Yep." He said, "I'm going to see my girlfriend tonight. We're going to sit on the porch after dinner." He said, "In fact, if she'll hold my hand, I'm going to give her a box of chocolate." He said, "In fact, if she'll let me hug her, I'm going to give her 2 boxes of chocolate. And if she'll let me give her a little peck on the cheek, I'm going to give her 3 boxes of chocolate." Well, the pharmacist kind of rolled his eyes, sold him the chocolate. Boy went over to the house for dinner. He sat down there with the family. He said, "May I pray?" Folks said, "Sure, go ahead. You can pray." And that boy began to pray. He said, "Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace to us." He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when he got done, his girlfriend said, "Tommy, I didn't know you were so religious." He looked at her and said, "I didn't know your dad was the pharmacist." Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when we make pleasure our number one goal, we're headed for trouble every time. Every single time. Here was a man who was looking for pleasure. He was looking for prosperity. He was looking for possessions. And God says, "Whoa, you need to have an attitude adjustment about this. You need to avoid unfulfilling priorities. What does it matter if you gain all this and lose your own soul?" Jesus said. Notice secondly, God wants us to assess stewardship biblically. God says, don't look at this the way the average Joe looks at this. Look at this through the Word of God. I want you to make your assessments biblically. Now notice what the Bible says, if you would, in verse 20 of our passage. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now folks, we're here to get a biblical perspective on life. So if we are going to think about things biblically, there are 2 things we must understand. First of all, that will involve us thinking eternally, because the Bible is an eternal book, okay? The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And if we're going to think biblically, God wants us to think eternally. The Bible says here in verse 20, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." If we're going to think eternally, we must first of all think about this. We must think regarding the brevity of life. If we're thinking eternally, we're thinking regarding the brevity of life. You see, the fact of the matter is that Jesus is simply calling to this man's memory the fact that he would not live forever. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." You know, it is only a fool that lives for this life only. It's only a fool that thinks of this life only. James tells us about this life, James 4:14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." How many of you have noticed life gets by us? What is your life? It's but a vapor. God says, folks, think eternally. Remember the brevity of life. You see, Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I heard about a man one day that met God. He said, "God, what is 1,000,000 years to you?" God said, "It's like a second." He said, "Well, what is $10 million to you?" God said, "It's like a dime." The man continued. He said, "Well, then, can I borrow a dime?" God said, "Just a second." Folks, we need to think of time a little bit differently. Time is but a vapor. You see, you rarely see a luggage rack on a hearse. We're not going to take these things ahead with us. And so concerning this matter of the brevity of time. Secondly, regarding the certainty of evaluation. If you're thinking biblically, then you're thinking about the brevity of time. And you're thinking about the certainty of evaluation. By that I mean all of us as Christians one day will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And our works on this earth will be evaluated by Him. Notice what it says, Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Luke 16:2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Some people call this the Bema Seat Judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ. It is to be differentiated from the great white throne judgment, where men who are unsaved will stand before God and hear those terrible words, depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is for Christians, and we will stand there and we will be rewarded for our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be evaluated for our service rendered unto Him. But I want you to know, my friend, one day our lives will be evaluated and the books will be open and we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wise Christian who is thinking biblically thinks eternally and is living not just for this day, but for that day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must think eternally. And when we think eternally, secondly, then we will invest eternally. When we are thinking heavenly, we will invest heavenly. Now notice this verse 21. This is not Baptist happy talk, all right? This is God's word. By the way, how many of you have red letter edition Bibles? Let me see. All right, these are the words of Jesus, right? Look at verse 21. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not what? Rich toward God. I mean, we can be rich toward God. We can invest toward God. Yes, we can. The Bible says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. The great missionary Jim Elliot, who gave his life as a martyr in South America, said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so we are challenged to let money serve an eternal purpose. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon is Syriac for money. And you see, friend, when Jesus Christ is your Lord, then money will be your servant. And you will look at money as a tool to use for the glory of God. God wants us to invest eternally. God wants us to invest from the heart. Notice this in verse 34, what it says here, Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, folks, as I've observed in pastoring, consistent giving leads to consistent living. Inconsistent giving produces inconsistent living. And when we are faithful in giving, there is not a perfect trouble-free life. I'm not preaching that. But it anchors our heart to the things of God. And it helps us to avoid many of the pitfalls and snares that could come by living with an unfulfilling priority in life. God wants us, Colossians 3:1, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, to set our affection on the things which are above, not on the things of this earth. Well, here we see a man that needed an attitude adjustment, and God says, look, you're worried about what you can have and about settling the affairs of this estate. But Jesus says, I want to challenge you. Avoid unfulfilling priorities. Secondly, assess your stewardship biblically. And notice with me finally this morning, God wants us to activate faith immediately. He wants us to activate faith immediately. Notice this in verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Notice down in verse 28. And if then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? How many of you are sensing the attitude adjustment here? You see, it is with a proper attitude that we can make a difference. This man was going to make no difference for eternity so long as he was a man of little faith. People of little faith do not touch eternity. People of great faith can make a difference for eternity. And God says to this man, you need to activate faith. You need to recognize this matter of taking thought for your life is not going to activate faith for eternity. Now, how do we activate faith? Two ways in this passage. First of all, we must learn to trust the Lord. We must learn to trust the Lord. Now notice in this Bible passage, in verse number 22 once again. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now God says, I want you to trust me. The ravens aren't worrying about how they're going to eat. The lilies don't worry about how they're going to look. God says, if I take care of these little creatures, how much more do you mean to me? Folks, settle it in your mind today. God loves you and God will take care of you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now for trusting the Lord, two things happen. First of all, we're going to refuse to worry. We're going to refuse to worry. Be careful for nothing. That means worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look, when you are filled up with faith, you will refuse to worry. And secondly, you will rely upon God. Notice that in verse 27. The Bible says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. And the Bible is very clear, they spin not, and yet look at the glory of the lilies. Folks, whether it's tithing on a weekly basis, 10% of our income, God says, don't worry, but rely upon me. Notice 1 Timothy, the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God says, I want to bless you, but I want you always to be ready to distribute. I want you who are my stewards to be in the distribution business. I want you to invest wisely. I want you to steward wisely. But then I want you to be ready to distribute, the Bible says. Oh, listen, we need to trust the Lord. I remember years ago in our old building, we had been meeting in a small room upstairs in that building. We had 12 or 15 and then 20 and then 30. There was a group downstairs that was renting our main auditorium. Now, back then, it required all the offerings of our church and the rent from the other group together to sometimes make the building payment. I mean, it was a stretch. It was difficult. Well, I remember as we grew up into the 40s, one day I talked to the pastor of the other church. He was a man two or three times my age. I said, sir, I need to talk to you. I took one of the men from our church with us. I said, I don't see any written agreement or anything, but I just need to let you know that we're going to be needing this building where you're meeting. And I said, I need you to get ready to vacate. I remember he looked at me and he said, well, how many did you have in church today? And I kind of got my buttons popped out and I said something like, oh, 42 or 43. And I was kind of proud of that. He looked at me and he kind of laughed. He said to me, son, I thought you needed our money. You know, when he said that, something started in my toes down here. And it came up and found its way out my mouth. And I said to him, I said, sir, God owns the cattle on a thousand hill, the wealth in every mine, and God is going to provide for our young church. And I'm going to tell you something. It took all the faith I could muster as a 25-year-old man to say that to that pastor. And we moved into that building, and week by week, we filled it up to the glory of God until we moved out to this property. And I want you to understand in perspective, it is taking all the faith I can muster to keep this building program going and to preach this message this morning and to be where I am in the ministry today. But I want you to understand, the God that wanted me to trust him as a 25-year-old man and the God that wanted you to trust him on the day you were saved wants you to trust him even now this morning. He wants you to trust him. Trust the Lord. And then secondly, seek his priority. Seek his priority. When you are a man or woman of faith, you are trusting the Lord and you are seeking His priority. Now notice this as we close, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's say that together. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. God says, hey, don't worry about all this stuff. Just seek me first and I'll take care of the stuff. Just keep me where I belong in your heart. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God says, seek first my kingdom. Lancaster Baptist Church is busy in kingdom work. Look at this is not about our kingdom. This is not about us. This is about Him. This is about the work of Christ. That's what it's all about. Seeking first the kingdom of God. And when we invest in the work of Jesus Christ in this place, we are investing in the kingdom work. Why? Because friends, things do not last forever, but people do. And while we thank God for the things, we want to remember there is no greater use of money than to help people get to heaven. And that's what it's really all about. That's the bottom line. Helping people know the faith of Christ. Helping people know that they are on their way to heaven. Well, this morning as we conclude this series of messages about stewardship, I want to ask you, if you would please, to ponder five questions. I didn't write them down. This isn't a test. I'm not going to grade the test. You don't stand before me. You're going to stand before the Lord someday. I just want to help you get ready. And I want you to think about a few things as we close, questions that are based on these particular Bible passages. First of all, is my attitude right toward trusting God in stewardship? How many of you this morning would have to say, and don't lift your hands, you know, I'm the guy that needed the attitude adjustment. My thinking was more about this and this and this and reasoning this and that. And I see the Lord helping this man. How's your attitude today? Secondly, if you say your attitude is right, can you prove it? Can I prove that my attitude is right? Does the way you steward prove that your attitude is right in that area? Next. Does the way I handle my money, or really God's money, demonstrate that He can trust me with more? Is the way you're handling what you have now demonstrating that God could give you more? Are you a trustworthy steward? Remember, Jesus says, give an account of thy stewardship. And to one man He said, you're no longer going to be a steward. You see, God will bless those who honor Him. Fourthly, if you are not tithing right now, will you start that next Sunday? We've learned in previous weeks, the tithe is the Lord's. That's a question between you and God. But if you're not each week honoring God with what He's honored you with, will you begin to do that? And finally, if you haven't been praying, would you? But my friend, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. To say I can't do anything, that may or may not be true, but there is a God in heaven who would like to do something. Would you begin to pray? And remember, God does not need your money, but He does want what it represents. It represents your heart. God wants that fellowship with you through this time. May God help us to avoid the unfulfilling priorities. May God help us to assess our stewardship biblically. And may God help us to activate faith immediately. And when we do, the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can trust Him. And by the way, if you have never trusted Him with the keeping of your soul, may I encourage you to do that? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible is very clear that it is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins can be washed away so that we can stand before the Lord ready to enter into heaven for all of eternity. And while I have preached today about stewardship, let me say to you, the greatest gift from God is not a pay raise, it's not a bonus, it's not an inheritance. The greatest gift of God is the forgiveness of your sin and the knowledge of eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. And if you have not received that gift, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust if you've never received Him that you would do that even today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
If you are interested in watching Pastor Chapel preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.